Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like The Florida Project. I'm Jason. Across from me is Will.
Hello.
And next to me is Michael.
How do?
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
That's a first.
Exotic. If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, get some cool real-world stuff, and even chat with us when you're bored at work, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. Each week on TFP Extra, we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney-related. If you're a fan of the nonsense parts of The Florida Project, you'll love TFP Extra.
Extra.
In addition to TFP Extra, our Patreon saints get access to our ongoing Disney Classics series where we discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Our latest episode is about Rescuers Down Under, and the next one will be about Tangled.
Tangled. Excited.
Patreons who contribute just $5 get the additional shows and an invite to the TFP Slack channel. There you can chat with us, participate in watch-alongs, and engage in fun, freewheeling discussions. It's like a nonstop episode of TFP Extra.
Extra.
We had a new member to the Slack ranks today.
Yes. Thank you, Ellen.
Yes. Ellen joined us, so thank you.
And yeah, we'll look forward to chatting with her.
Yeah.
She was a previous Patreon, but she wanted to become a Slack person so bad she upped her patronage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's an extra add-on you get there.
She didn't actually say that, but I'm assuming that's what happened.
That's, yeah.
She got the clear coat. We may be having a watch-along soon for some sort of Disney movie. We gotta talk about that.
We'll have a poll for it.
Yeah. On the Slack.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.
Curated poll.
Curated poll, yes. Yeah. Halloween Town 2.
No.
Those are the only options.
Twitches.
In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. Will take us on a trip down Main Tweet USA. And then we'll discuss the entire season of Marvel's The Falcon and Winter Soldier as we ask 10 questions about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. All of that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topics. Apple released AirTags this week, which I'm very excited about because I often lose my AirPods, especially. Michael is a bigger Apple fan than I am, but he is also more responsible with his stuff. So he could not come up with a reason to buy one, and Will is similar. So these are targeted towards me.
I'm careful with my things.
Yeah.
Until I'm not.
And these aren't really anything new because there's been like those tile devices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this one looks really cool because it guides you to your thing.
Yeah, if you have a certain iPhone, it like...
Yeah.
Bleep, bleep. And I was reading about it and it like, if you lose it somewhere and somebody else happens upon it or gets close to it, it'll pop up a message on their phone saying, call Jim. He lost his whatever. These are his.
Stay away from Jim's AirTag number 3.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty cool. And then they also have some sort of mechanism for like, if you were a malicious actor and you had an AirTag and you dropped it in somebody's bag to track them, it like recognizes that that's happened and then it'll start to play a sound in your bag. So then you get it and then you open it, like you scan it with your phone and your phone tells you how to disable it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jim.
Don't track people.
No.
That don't want to be tracked.
No. You go to jail for that.
I want to get one for Oliver. Hang from his collar.
He's I bet cat, they'll make.
By the way. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not my child, my cat.
I bet they'll make a pet tag one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Will, what would you put one on?
I don't know. I was thinking AirPods because I've lost a set of AirPods, but they're gone, so I can't do that now.
Yeah.
The problem with the AirPods are the case is really slick, and it can just slip right out of your pocket.
Yeah.
So I got one of those AirPods cases, so it doesn't slip out of my pocket anymore, like leather.
Yeah.
What would I use it on? I don't know. I cannot currently think of a reason to buy one.
You can put it in your car. You often cannot find your car in a parking lot.
It happened one time.
It happens all the time.
It does not happen all the time.
Will actually buys a new car anytime. Like, he has a Carvana on speed dial, and they just deliver a new car to the
I do have new car fever currently, and I'm trying to not do it as long as I can. But I've been riding in a couple of people's new cars over the last couple of weeks, and I'm really jealous.
Yeah.
They ride so nice.
Do it.
It'll happen soon, sadly.
I'm trying to wait till at least next year.
Yeah.
I can't make it that long. I'm going to try to wait till the summer.
Running out of time?
I am.
All right. The Toronto Blue Jays aren't allowed to play in Canada due to COVID restrictions, so their home games are now in Dundalion, Florida.
Dunedin? Is that
Dunedin.
Dunedin.
If you had to move Walt Disney World to another city due to COVID restrictions, where would you move it? It has to be like a small town.
Yeah. I want it, well, Vinings count?
Yeah.
I want it to be right next to my house and right next to the Braves Stadium.
So it's between and your house and Turner Field?
Truist Park.
Truist Park.
I want to be able to walk to all my favorite things. That would be nice.
Yeah.
It's like when the Atlanta Braves used to play Georgia Tech in exhibition baseball at Disney World. And I'm like, well, here we go. Like, everything I like is right here, right now. Yeah, I don't know. You got to think about a few things. I want somewhere a little cooler.
Yeah.
Like, California is great.
California is great.
I mean, it's perfect climate for a theme park.
I was maybe like in Asheville.
Yeah.
But they would need to flatten it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be walking up and down mountains.
Yeah.
I was going to say, having like a Disney park in the mountains would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because you could hide stuff so easily with the rolling hills.
That's true.
Have you been to Universal in Hollywood?
I have not.
So the downside to that is it's on a mountain range, basically, you know, the Hollywood Hills, right? There are escalators everywhere to like go from Jurassic Park up to whatever the next thing is. There are just massive escalators.
Huh.
So the only thing is, it's not a very big park footprint, but it's very spread out. So, and it's kind of confusing map wise to know where you're going. Like, this is not exactly right next to that. That's the only downside.
Oh, interesting.
I see.
Yeah. When I was at Six Flags, I worked at the Wild West Comedy Gunfight Show, and I knew some people that worked at the Crystal Pistol. Is that what it was called?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it was up a hill. I never visited them.
It's a hill. It was a heck of a hill, too.
It's a big hill.
Well, if they have Disney World in the mountains, it could just be on in between the mountains, and there's tunnels that go through the mountains to get from like one land to another.
Oh, that'd be
people
nice.
Movers?
Or people movers, yeah.
Through the tunnels is what I'm saying.
Through the tunnels. That way each land is like completely separate from other lands.
Are they going to move the Progress City model there?
They'll try, but hopefully nothing will happen to it.
Well, then it'll go down for like 8 months for no apparent reason. And has it gone down again this week?
The people I haven't heard since it's going down. No, I feel like that would have been news.
Yeah, probably would have been. Anyway, yeah, I think Asheville's solid. Go with Asheville. That's the best answer. I don't know. You need that mild climate. It can get cold. That's fine.
Yeah.
We don't need a ton of snow.
No.
Because they don't, hot. Or close. Don't close.
No, I don't think they would close.
Okay.
They'll deal with snow. Disneyland Paris, I think, gets snow.
They do.
Do you know how many weekends I would go to Disney World if it was in Asheville?
Yeah, it's like,
it's
what,
so close.
3 hours from here?
It's 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Let's go to Asheville.
Yeah, I thought it was longer than that. I thought it was like 5 hours.
No, it's like 2 hours to Greenville and then an hour to Asheville.
Son of a gun, really? Yeah. I've only been one time.
The NFL draft started last night. If you were going to play dodgeball with Star Wars characters, who would you draft for your team?
I'm ready with number one. It's Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Just from that first scene in Phantom Menace where he and Qui-Gon went whoosh and did their quick Jedi like running. That's what you need. That's good for dodging.
Yeah. Okay.
I would go with K2SO because he's really tall.
Can't move.
He can spike. He can stand in front of the net, and anytime the ball comes, he gives a poof.
That's volleyball.
That's volleyball.
Oh, what are we talking about?
Dodgeball.
Oh, dodgeball. All right. Dio. Have the little guy from.
Oh, he'd be hard to hit.
Yeah. He would be hard to hit.
That's a good one.
And it's got that wheel.
Again, BB-8 would also be good for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll pick BB-8.
All right.
But he can't throw. He can't be an offensive.
Well, he surely has a thing.
It's a little dodgeball hand that comes out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Grabs the dodgeball.
I mean, yeah. Vader?
Yeah?
Just choke out the other team.
No, that's cheating.
We won.
Pray we don't win further.
They all fell over. I don't know what happened. I think they forfeit.
Michael?
Stormtrooper.
Yeah?
Because they have no aim. They'll never hit you with the ball.
Oh, yeah. You want fodder, too.
You don't want them on your team, though.
Oh, yeah. I want them on the other team.
Yeah.
Maybe the Mandalorian with a jetpack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be a good one.
Tough to get.
And that, like, wire thing you can shoot out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you consider cheating if choking's cheating, then? Like, huh? Really, you can't force choke somebody? That's cheating? What about using any force powers?
You can use force powers. You just can't choke people to death in dodgeball.
I didn't say death.
It's death.
I just said to unconsciousness.
I'm going to go with Kyle because I think he would be a beast.
Oh, you want to talk about cheating?
Rage.
He'll pull out his lightsaber.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, my guy can't choke somebody up. No. But Kyle, Vader will at least hold his emotions as long as he can. Kyle's going to go out there angry.
No. Vader's... No. Mm-hmm. He was in charge of the Seven Sisters or whatever. What are they? The Inquisitors?
The Inquisitors, yeah.
And he mangled them all, like maimed and cut off pieces of them.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Well,
he's a bad, he wouldn't be a good captain.
What about Porg? A Porg.
Yeah.
I mean, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. They can fly and stuff.
You want something that's hard to hit.
That's true. They could drop from above.
Yeah, Porg is hard to hit.
Or maybe a clone trooper, paratrooper or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
Or those stormtroopers that flew in Rise of Skywalker.
What about an AT-AT?
I don't think so.
And instead of guns, it shoots dodgeballs out of the gun slots? Yes. You win.
But one hit, he's out. Give him 10 minutes. He's got to get out of here. And always Palpatine, just for the record. Because you literally can't kill him.
He's the coach.
Yeah.
Do it.
He would be a great coach.
Well, that's it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason. Those are some great small topics. News. Here are three news items discussed this week about Walt Disney World and beyond. And we're going to start with the beyond. Number one, Disney Cruise Line unveils more details on their newest ship, The Wish.
Ooh.
Like we previously mentioned, Disney had a special event to give a first look at the newest Disney Cruise Line ship, The Wish. When the Disney Wish sets sail in the summer of 2022, you'll be immersed in Disney's rich legacy of enchanting storytelling. They're bringing to life the stories and characters of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars adventures like never before. And Disney released an in-depth look at the new ship in a 30-minute presentation, but here are some of the highlights if you didn't get to watch it. Number one is the Aqua Mouse. So this is the equivalent to the Aqua Duck, which is on the Fantasy and the Wonder, at least.
Yeah. Is this sad I just got that?
The aqueduct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Oh, yeah. I misspoke. The Fantasy and the Dream, not the Wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a water-based attraction. You'll be immersed in the wonderful world of Mickey Mouse animated shorts aboard the first ever Disney attraction at sea. It's complete with show scenes, lighting, and special effects and splash-tacular surprises. This wild water ride is sure to delight everyone in the family as they zigzag and zoom through 760 feet of winding tubes suspended high above the upper decks. So it looks like the Aqua Duck, but on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I wonder how long it's going to be if it has like a story and show scenes and stuff. Like it seems smaller than the length of time required for story, but it's a big ship, so
yeah, that's probably a loose story.
Yeah.
Number two, Arendelle, a Frozen dining adventure. This is Disney's first Frozen themed theatrical dining experience that will bring the world of Arendelle to life through immersive live entertainment featuring favorite characters like Elsa, Anna, Kristoff, and Olaf, and world-class cuisine infused with Nordic influences. And they showed some artwork from this. And it looked really cool.
So did they say anything about the show? You said you get to use powers or something.
I didn't write all that down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you want more details, watch the video.
Okay.
Stop asking me questions.
Number three, The Worlds of Marvel is the first ever Marvel Cinematic Dining Adventure where you'll play an interactive role in an action-packed Avengers mission that unfolds around you, complete with a worldly menu inspired by the Marvel Cinematic Universe. 1923, named for the year that the Walt Disney Company was founded, is an elegant celebration of the company's legacy, paying homage to the golden age of animation and offering a tasteful tribute to its California heritage with dishes inspired by the state's unique fusion of cultural flavors.
So tasteful.
I'm excited about this, and I believe this actually exists out in California, but I can't remember sure. I think it's a restaurant at California Adventure, maybe.
Which one would you want to be your home restaurant, the one you go to multiple times?
Either the 1923 or the Arendelle frozen one.
I would go for the
Marvel. Aqua Mouse. Just throw a sandwich at me as I'm riding the slide.
Well,
on a raft? Did you say that?
Yeah, it's on a raft. Okay. Yeah.
And it has a lift.
You're basically in a tube the whole time.
I probably wouldn't.
Especially when it goes out over the ocean.
Sandwich is going to get pretty soggy probably, right?
Yeah. You'll have to eat that fast.
Well, they'll just throw another one in.
Or put it in your pocket. There's plentiful food on that deck. You can go get you a sandwich on the way and a sandwich when you're done.
I'll be fine. Just get a submarine sandwich.
Ah! Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Get...
All right, next up we have Star Wars, the Hyperspace Lounge. This is a high-end bar styled as a luxurious yacht-class spaceship. This richly themed immersive experience will be reserved for adults every evening, offering interactive tasting experiences and signature beverages inspired by the destinations, such as Batuu, Tatooine, and Mustafar.
Mustafar. Mm. When I want to think of good eating, I think the lava planet of Mustafar.
Yeah, like a good char.
Ah, Mustafar gets a bad rap. I think
it looks awful,
but the tourism is great. The food is great.
Nah, Michael already won with char. Yeah.
Charred yub nub. Mm. That one's the one I'm most excited about. Star Wars Lounge.
Bar.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Well, I gotta imagine it's gonna be a lot like something on the one at the Star Wars Hotel that we're getting, right? Something similar.
Probably. There is some artwork of this. It looks really pretty. There's like a big spaceport window where you can look outside.
Cool.
There's an upscale lounge and restaurant that will be elegantly themed to Beauty and the Beast, with Palo Steakhouse inspired by Cogsworth, Enchante by Chef Arnaud Lyament, a romantic and intimate venue invoking Lumiere, and The Rose, a chic lounge that sits in between.
We never went to the super fancy restaurant, but I might try this one because I do like French food.
We like Palo.
Yeah. I guess the other one's Remy. That's probably French food too, right?
Yeah. These will all be themed on... I'm surprised they didn't change the name of Palo. Because that was a very Italian...
Yeah. I guess maybe... Well, the food is still Italian. I guess maybe because it's on all the ships, they're going to keep it on all the ships.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
The Disney Wish will also debut 4 royal suites, richly adorned, lavishly appointed suites that accommodate up to 6 guests and featured extravagant details and first-class amenities. These include a pair of 2-story suites, the first of their kind within the Disney fleet, which will feature stunning statement pieces like an elegant spiral staircase and a spectacular 2-deck-high stained glass frieze.
You know what I don't want on a cruise ship? Spiral staircase.
Well, I don't think you're probably going to have to worry about it.
What are you saying?
You're poor. You're 2-story on a cruise ship poor.
It looked like... Like, if you looked at the pictures of that one, it looked very breakable. Like, even if I had the money to do that, I don't know that I would, because it just seems too breakable.
Yeah, you would.
I would, but.
Okay, there you go. Let's just stop right there.
But it's also either on the back of the ship is where they put the suites, which is the most.
Yeah, they talked a lot more about the suites. I'm just giving you, the rundown, but there's a lot of cool stuff with the suites on the ship.
Again, we probably don't need to worry about it.
No.
But maybe a regular suite.
2-story. Or nothing.
So there was much more, and if you're familiar with the other Disney Cruise Line ships, expect enhanced versions of all the usual amenities, more space, more elegance, and more magic. The Disney Wish will sail its maiden voyage, a 5-night cruise to Nassau, Bahamas, and Disney's private island, Castaway Key, on June 9th, 2022. Followed by an inaugural season of 3- and 4-night cruises to the same destinations from Port Canaveral, Florida, Bookings open to the general public on May 27, 2021, and open to Platinum, Gold, or Silver Castaway Club members, or Disney Vacation Club members, or Adventure Insider with Adventures by Disney, starting May 17, 2021. And then, like, each day, it's, like, a different, depending on what level you're at.
Oh. We're Silver.
Yeah, so we're somewhere in between the 17th and the 27th. So for full details, go to the Once Upon a Disney Wish portion of the Disney Parks blog for the presentation, artwork, and more information as it's released. So it looks really nice. The last week we talked about like the Grand Atrium and like the Cinderella-ness of it all. But yeah, this ship definitely seems really cool, aside from it being bigger than the other ships.
Yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully we'll be able to go on it next year or the year after.
And speaking of cruises, number two, another new scene revealed for the world-famous Jungle Cruise. In the latest sneak peek at Disney Parks blog of the upcoming changes to the Jungle Cruise, Disney has shared concept art of the new Lost and Found show scene that will replace the former Trader Sam scene at the end of the classic Magic Kingdom attraction. According to the story, quote, word on the stream is that Alberta Falls, proprietor of the Jungle Navigation Company Limited, has entrusted her longtime friend Trader Sam to manage the new Lost and Found location. But with Trader Sam being Trader Sam, there's always an opportunity to make some extra money. After all the best rides end with a gift shop, right? End quote. The concept art shows a Jungle Lost and Found converted into a gift shop. The former head salesman Trader Sam scene was removed in early April to make way for this new scene. And Disney announced back in January of 2021 that it plans to update the Jungle Cruise with new additions to add more humor, wildlife, and skipper heart, and also reflect and value the diversity of the world around us. The changes to Jungle Cruise are currently in progress at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland and will be completed later this summer. And the Jungle Cruise at Walt Disney World is still operational while they do this. They do most of the work at night. Disneyland's Jungle Cruise is currently closed for refurbishment, I believe.
Okay.
Or at least that was prior to this because the whole park was closed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But not for refurbishment.
For whatever these enhancements.
Yeah. And no, the whole park was closed, is what I'm saying. COVID, Michael. I don't know if you heard of it.
What?
Yeah. It was a thing.
You know what's also a thing?
What?
An Android device. Number three.
That's awesome, especially after... Because I don't think you're like anti-Android, but Jason already said you're a bigger Apple person than him. I think you ought to start playing that role now.
Ugh. Anti-Android?
That'll be hilarious if that's your thing you're mean girl about.
Well, I was an Android user when we first started dating. I'm surprised that...
Yeah.
Well, I converted him.
He converted me pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Number three, Disney Magic Mobile launches on Android devices. So we previously discussed Magic Mobile leading up to its debut with Apple devices a few weeks ago. And as expected, Disney has rolled out the service to Android devices as well. And to use Magic Mobile on Android, the device must be Google Pay enabled.
Yeah, it's their version of the Apple Wallet, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Same concept.
Because you can put Android on anything. This flip-flop. It's a phone now. We put Android on it.
All right, cool. This is nice. I loved Magic Mobile. I can't wait to use it again next week, actually.
Nice. Yeah, and the Android version functions exactly the same as the Apple version. Like, there's no functional difference.
Well, please get catty about it. Except it's in an inferior phone. Can I play the part of...
It functions identically to the Apple version. I mean, except it probably drops out more and it probably doesn't connect as quickly. But other than the actual functionality of it, it's probably fine.
Michael! That wasn't me.
So functionally, it's the same as the Apple version, except that you're using an Android device.
Yes.
So.
And he said all that in his head, though. Did you hear it? You heard it in between the words.
It's like the difference between a flip-flop and a stiletto heel.
Okay.
Functionally, they're the same.
Well, okay.
One has style.
Oh, goodness. All right.
You know what they say? The sex is in the heel.
Who says that?
Kinky boots.
Oh.
And just like the battery life on an Android device, that is it for news.
That was some good news, Michael.
That was some shady news, Michael.
Shady news. I like that we gave Michael a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like the nice one, just he has his one mean streak. That's awesome.
Of course, I jest.
Cut that out.
For the time of your life, you ought to find yourself here.
tweet.
All right, this week, Main Tweet USA, guess where it's taking us?
The Esplanade?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Main Street USA in Disneyland. Because for months, I was saying, let's go back to Disneyland. But only kidding, because like the shop was open or whatever, or the parking lot was open. But guess what? Today, April 30th, Disneyland has reopened.
Woohoo!
The West Coast rejoices. All right, so did you see that for the first time in forever video they did the other day?
I did.
It was cute.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
All the stuff coming out from Disneyland this week has been, especially today, has been very nice.
Yeah, you kept up with some of the social today. Any good reactions come off?
It was just nice to see just general positivity and excitement just for like little things that like people just took for probably for granted before.
So Disneyland. They'll complain tomorrow.
Probably, but yeah. It was just nice getting a whole day of just people just being super excited to see Monstro the Whale and like stuff like that. And it was just,
we're out of the house.
They've waited so long.
Well, we did get some changes, including Star Wars Rise of the Resistance got shortened for the Disneyland reopening. So they officially reopened as of today, and naturally Star Wars Galaxy's Edge has been very popular as guests return to the park after an over 400-day closure.
Wow.
It was supposed to be 2 weeks.
Dang.
Oops.
However, those wanting to ride Star Wars Rise of the Resistance will notice that the attraction has been modified to ensure that the attraction is in line with California health protocols, which mandate that all indoor rides last no longer than 15 minutes. In order to accomplish this, guests visiting the attraction at Disneyland will bypass the pre-show room with Rey and BB-8, proceeding directly to the Resistance ship, where parties will be assigned their own marker to stand on during this part of the experience. In addition, other, quote, dwelling points where riders wait or stroll through the attraction have been sped up to ensure that the experience is under 15 minutes total. So, when you come out on the Star Destroyer, move along.
Yes.
I'm assuming. Though the ride is essentially the same, it looks like guests visiting Disneyland will be experiencing the shortened version of the attraction for the foreseeable future while COVID-19 restrictions are in effect. Although it says are in effects, so I'm just saying.
Like special effects?
Get your act together. I'm not even going to say what article it's from. Just, I don't want to throw too much shade, but it certainly wasn't an Apple article. Like at Disney's Hollywood Studios, Star Wars Rise of the Resistance at Disneyland is using a virtual queue system that gives guests two chances to try and snag a boarding group at either 7 a.m. or 12 p.m. via the Disneyland app. Guests then can proceed to the attraction once their boarding group has been called and they have been notified by the app. So we mentioned Universal Studios Hollywood earlier, all sorts of escalators. They are going to allow guests 16 and older who are vaccinated out-of-state visitors to purchase tickets at the gate. Whereas Disneyland, it's only California only. It's California only, not only California only. Breaking with other California theme parks like Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm, which is a ridiculous name for a thing. I know what it is, but every time I read it, it's such a... We didn't grow up on it, so it sounds just ridiculous.
It's Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, it sounds just so weird.
Yeah, the emphasis in the regular vernacular is on the wrong word.
Anyway, Universal Studios Hollywood has updated its website to state that the park will be welcoming out-of-state guests who are fully vaccinated, effective immediately. However, there are some caveats to this non-resident entry, as proof of vaccination as well as photo ID will be required before tickets can be purchased, and guests must buy tickets at the front gate only in order to visit the theme park. Unfortunately, this also means that out-of-state visitors must be 16 or older, as children are not eligible for vaccination. In addition, party size for all visitors is limited to a maximum of 3 households. In addition to that, walk-up reservations are subject to availability, as no out-of-state visitors are able to purchase tickets in advance to make reservations. You can learn more about this new policy, which is now in effect at Universal Studio Hollywood's official website, even though their website, at least the Florida one, is trash, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be anti-universal, but it's really difficult to navigate.
It is. I wonder if it's gotten better.
I don't know. I remember 2019, I tried. I tried really hard, and I gave up. I don't know how much anything is. Like other California theme parks, Universal Studios Hollywood is reopened with limited capacity, required masks, and queues that include physical distancing markers. In addition, some shows and character experiences are not available with current health and safety guidelines in place, but they have reopened the Jurassic World ride with those cool new dinosaurs, so I want to go ride that.
They attack each other.
I'm super excited about that. And that's it for Maine Tweet USA.
With kindness? Do they attack each other with kindness?
Teeth.
Jason. Some kindness, but yeah, mostly teeth.
Teeth. Okay. Claws.
25% kindness.
Sounds scary.
It is.
Thanks, Will. That was a great trip down Maine Tweet USA.
Today's topic is 10 questions about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The latest of Marvel's Disney Plus series just finished, and as is tradition, we'll ask 10 questions about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Spoiler warning! From now through the rest of the show, there will definitely be spoilers for all of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but there will also likely be spoilers for many other MCU movies and shows, and even a couple of comic spoilers too.
And anything else, it may happen.
Yep.
You know, we can't control what we say.
Yep. And now, by saying spoilers for a fifth time, the 10 questions have been mystically unlocked as if by 10 rings.
The 10 rings?
Yeah, the 10 rings.
Yeah. Spoiler. Yeah. I still don't know what they are.
We're not going to talk about the 10 rings, and we're not going to talk about what we may or may know about
Shang-Chi.
No, Black Widow.
I don't know anything still. It's been a year. I don't know anything. Spoiler, though, she's dead.
Yeah.
And a superhero.
Yeah.
All right. This show was more of your traditional Marvel movie, was with superheroes beating each other up. Which fight was your favorite? Mine was the Wakanda fight in the hotel room.
Yeah.
Because we saw the Dora Milaje some... Especially when they were fighting Killmonger. But they took it to a whole new level when they were fighting New Cap. And better than that, both Bucky and Sam were like, nah, dog, this is you.
Hey.
We're not messing with them.
Although the fight in the second to last episode was also really good.
What was that one?
It was like a 20-minute fight. And then the rest of the episode was just like... I guess I'm going to be Captain America now. I got to start training with the shield.
In the warehouse-y thing?
Yeah. I enjoyed that one, but yeah, I think yours is actually the winner. That was the best one.
I also really liked the one where the guy died in.
Oh, yeah?
Third to last episode?
Where,
I forgot his name. What was his name?
Battlestar.
Battlestar.
Lamar.
Lamar, yeah.
I felt so bad for him after he had his little signature thing, he said.
I know.
Yeah. But he did not seem long for this world. It felt like we met him for him to die.
Yeah.
And, you know, just it seemed like it.
He was the lady in the refrigerator or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was
the lady in the lake's cousin.
Yeah. There was a fight scene like leading up to his death. Like, I didn't like that he died, but it was a really cool fight scene, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I like that one too. But the one in the hotel room was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love. Every time in the show where Bucky just stands back, y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 100 years. I'm done with you people. Ugh, I'm so old.
Enough of your drama.
Yeah, I was very surprised when the Dora Milaje showed up.
Oh, it was awesome.
Super excited.
Shouldn't have been surprised, though, but everybody was. I'm like, yeah. You know what? I'm still surprised they didn't, you know, change his name from the Winter Soldier. Because that was a big... assumption that might happen over the last couple of years to White Wolf.
Originally the title card at the end of the final episode was going to say Captain America and the White Wolf.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, how great was that the last title card changed it from Falcon to Captain America? Also, the title does sound better, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, as opposed to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That doesn't roll off the tongue easily.
But this does roll into the next question. At the beginning of the show, Sam donates the shield to the Smithsonian and continues to operate as the Falcon. By the end of the show, he takes up the Captain America mantle. What do you think of how this story played out? And what do you think of his new uniform?
Oh, those are two very different questions.
Yeah. We're
story wise.
This question is discuss Sam being the new Captain America.
Story wise, the only thing I'll say is I think it was a little rushed at the end where he decided to take on the mantle.
Yeah.
Even though you had 6 episodes, it still felt a hair rushed. Just a hair. Where he changed his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Yeah. I loved that, you know, they donated the shield. I don't love it. It was awful. They donated the shield, and then they just gave it to this other dude.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't cool.
We'll talk about him later.
I could have used maybe one more episode of him, like, deciding. I don't know, because immediately he talked to, I can't remember his name.
Isaiah Bradley.
And but then he just completely like, nah, dog, it's cool. Yeah. I'm going to be Captain America. You know? And then we can get to the costume. You can, like, say your opinions first.
Oh, yeah, I was really glad that he wasn't immediately Captain America at the beginning of the series. Because, like, at the end of Endgame, he's given the shield and, like, you know, if this series didn't exist, the next movie he would just be Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see, like, the progression of him coming to terms with the fact that, number one, that he was offered the shield or given the shield and deciding himself to become Captain America as opposed to being told that you're Captain America.
Yeah, it was, I heard a take somewhere that was, it was good that they did this because if they just gave Sam the shield and made him Captain America right away, people may be like, oh, he's no Chris Evans and he's not right. But then they put this other Captain America in the middle to compare Sam against. And you're like, oh yeah, we love Sam. He's way better than this guy.
Yeah.
But it also, interestingly, I was thinking about this morning is if you only watch the movies, this show has the only difference you'll notice in the movies is Sam has a new uniform.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like at the end of Endgame, Cap had passed the mantle of Captain America on to Sam and Sam took it. And then this show was really him giving away the shield and then getting back to status quo. So it was kind of like it was almost Star Trekian in the like reset button of it all.
Yeah. Way less Klingons though.
Yes.
WandaVision was the same way. Like you could not see WandaVision and pick up Wanda in, I guess, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, and kind of know where her headspace is because she's basically emotionally in the same place she was at the end.
We didn't know
Endgame.
How bad of shape she was in,
right?
You know, oh no, she's damaged.
Yeah. And then she, you know, she has like she was showing off her super duper powers in Endgame.
Oh yeah,
so it makes sense that she just went off to study more.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then
so that seems like that's what the way these series are going to be. Like they go more in depth on things, but they're connected, but they're not like. If you don't see these shows, then you're not going to understand the movie.
But neither of them felt superfluous either.
No, they didn't.
Like, this had a purpose for this story, and WandaVision really had a purpose.
It's almost like a lost flashback, right?
Yeah.
Like, it gives the story of what happened, but, you know, you can still, I guess, watch the...
And it's focusing on the characters that don't really get the spotlight in the movies, at least not up to this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah. I mean, Loki, he's been in like 15 movies, but just a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that one has any relation to the movies going forward.
I don't know if it has any relation to reality, and I'm here for it. Like, I can't wait. Like, how wacky. Like, what we thought WandaVision was going to be wacky, but turned into like, kind of depressing at times. And like, Loki's going to be, oh man, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
But I like it. Whereas Cap, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was a straight up like a longer 6-hour movie.
Yeah.
Like, but. It didn't feel... I could have had one or two more episodes, but I think 6 was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I have no issue with that. It did feel like they kind of... And this is maybe just from reading articles and stuff that it might have felt a little rushed, like for cutting some plot lines here and there or something. But it was good. I mean, I really, really liked it.
I don't think it... It didn't feel rushed to me. I have
the
seen...
The Flag Smashers felt a little like... What are they like, overall? Like, that could have been. I think that's really the whole Earth resettlement thing and all this. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that later.
Oh, but some like, I'm looking forward to talking about that.
Yeah.
But the costume next, right?
Yeah. What'd you think of the costume?
Boy, I didn't love it as much as I wanted to.
It is comic accurate.
It is.
Like,
it's out there.
Captain America's costume in The Avengers.
Yeah.
Was bad.
It's bad.
It's bad.
But you know what? It worked for him.
I don't know.
It worked for me. Like, this, like as soon as that episode was over and I saw Sam's costume and I go, I don't know that it works for Sam. And I immediately went back to Chris Evans. I mean, you know. And I was like, the character of Steve Rogers is a little dorky. And that costume's kind of dorky looking. And as it progressed over, it went into the more military looking costume and, like, you know, armor and stuff.
It was less bright.
It was. And then they just turned the brightness right back up for this one. So I suspect the next time we see Captain America, it'll probably be a little more, like, subdued, perhaps. Like not V2. Winter Soldier subdued, like the Navy suit or whatever, but a little bit less. Just a little something.
You have to remember, too, that the outfit was made by the Wakandans, so they probably, like, went a little bit overboard with the USA.
Ah, yes.
The red, white, and blue.
These people like that kind of crazy stuff.
So, like, if you look at it that way, it's kind of funny. It's like, they kind of went overboard with
it. I never would have thought that. Feels like some of the plot lines we should have been able to predict, but like having the Wakandans make the suit, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, somebody was like, I guess now that Tony Stark's dead, the Wakandans are the go-to. Like,
yeah,
I guess hey, I need a thing. Let me call Wakanda.
Yeah, they got a lot of cool tech.
And money, too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, unless the...
Although I wonder if Peter got that money.
He got the glasses.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if he got the lab or something.
Pepper's probably still running the company, right?
Oh, yeah, like, that's true. But Pepper's
and Happy's on the payroll, right?
Like, although, I guess we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
The pay thing in a little bit, too.
It was a bit much. I wanted to love it. I love the... Actually, I do really like the helmet. I think it works better than it did for
the
Cap.
The head sock?
I liked it because it doesn't have the top, like his hair.
Yeah, but it has that weird, like... Gambit.
I kind of like that.
I could tell, like, you could see where his ears were either not all the way in or not all the way out in it. It was like, that's not comfortable.
So when I noticed that? When he's having his speech at the end.
Yeah.
When you see him for like, but anytime this, I think I said this to on the Slack channel. I'm like, but if you go back to any of these movies, whenever they just stand there for a minute, they all look stupid at times. My example was in Age of Ultron when they were in Hawkeye's house, all in costume and everything. Mm-hmm. And just standing there in the living room, you all look ridiculous, by the way, especially Cap and Thor. You know, you have a cape on, for God's sake. But
put your cape in the coat closet.
I don't really notice the stuff with the outfits. Like, now that you mention things, I pick up on it. But, like, my opinion of the Falcon Captain America suit was, that's cool. It's different. It has wings and it's red, white, and blue.
He's red, white, and blue now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I
liked his old one, though. Like, his, but right before
his Falcon one.
His Falcon one looks cool.
Yeah.
I like it. It's subdued tones. Yeah. I kind of wish he had renamed Red Wing to something like
that's his buddy
Liberty or something like that.
Liberty Bell.
And I'll say something. I wish he talked.
Red Wing?
Yes.
Well, he might. He sends telemetry. That's talking.
Well, there's more than one Red Wing though on this suit.
I want him to.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that Red Wing also got an upgrade.
I want him to talk. That's all.
He's got a flock of
with an accent of some sort. Maybe a Cajun accent. That would be hilarious.
All right, Bucky got more character development in this series than he really has had in all of the MCU. What do you think of his redemption storyline?
Bucky with the his therapist was really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, I could have done more of that, honestly. He needs it. Of everybody in the MCU besides Wanda, Bucky needs to talk to somebody.
Yeah. He's a really good actor, too.
I think he is. I haven't seen him in a lot of stuff.
He was the Mad Hatter in Once Upon a Time.
He was the Mad Hatter in Once Upon a Time, and you could tell that he was a movie actor and these other people were TV actors, because it was just, you
know,
like...
I love when that happens.
It was the imbalance in performance was shocking between that Mad Hatter and everybody else on...
I'm now looking him up to see what else he's been in.
But Bucky was my favorite part of this entire series.
Yeah.
Especially the way they started with his character, like him being friends with, was it Japanese?
Yeah.
The old Japanese guy and kind of that storyline with his son. And then they came back around to it at the end.
Yeah.
With him admitting that he had killed his son. But yeah, there was like a deepness and a pathos there that fits with Bucky, but I didn't really expect to see it.
Yeah. We hadn't had the time before.
Yeah, so like, that was nice.
Yeah, I know you're going through some stuff, but aliens, buddy. Yeah.
What I thought was really cool was the scene where he was being deprogrammed. Like, they showed where
Oh yeah,
Wakanda had deprogrammed him and gotten that out of him, and they took him out to the edge of the city, and he was really nervous to do this because they were going to say the code words, and they did, and nothing happened, and and you could just see like the joy wash over him, and I thought that was really powerful and really a good scene.
I also really enjoyed just the anger he had when they were announcing the new Captain America. He was mad. Probably just at Sam, and he showed it.
Yeah.
But the scene between Sam and Bucky in the therapist's office was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you having a staring contest? And his like little list was really cool because it, you know, evoked Cap's list from Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But a lot different. It is the most time we've ever spent with Bucky, like you said, and I'm looking forward to spending some more time because I never really, honestly, Bucky never really did it for me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, Cap cared a lot more about him than I ever did during these movies.
So I went back and read the Winter Soldier comics, and Bucky was brought back in 2006. That's when the Winter Soldier started. I figured it was a long, long time ago. And it was, I guess there was the joke that nobody dies in, or nobody stays dead in comics except for Uncle Ben and Bucky. Because he had died, you know.
Have they brought Uncle Ben back?
I'm sure they brought Uncle Ben
cloning back. And whatnot.
All right. John Walker, played by Wyatt Russell,
is
introduced in the first episode as the new Captain America. What were your initial feelings on John Walker? I think Will already weighed in.
That's actually not true. Let me just
go back. How did that change throughout the series? What did you think of Wyatt Russell's performance overall? And do you want to see more of him in the MCU? There's multiple questions there.
There are. I'm going to have to read those again.
My first impression was basically what Will saw, boo, and he looked kind of dorky. The way they introduced him, but then at the same time, like, I was conflicted because, like, ooh, this is interesting. This is like Sam just gave them the shield and now they went and did this. Like, what's gonna happen now? Like, how is Sam gonna get the shield back? Like, I just found it fascinating and I didn't see it coming.
I agree. They introduced him in such a way that you just hated him.
Yeah.
You hate, like, they did a
he winked.
Yeah, they did a really good job of making this guy a good guy, but somebody that you hate.
Yeah.
And Wyatt Russell did a really good job of playing this guy that, like, everybody hates for the beginning because he stole Captain America's thing. And in the second episode, it was like, oh, well, maybe he's not so bad. Like, he's fine. And then he starts to snap a little bit, and then he goes off the deep end, and then he even redeems himself at the end and becomes what he becomes in the comics, U.S. Agent,
which is a stupid name. I'm sorry.
So I thought it was a good arc, and I'm excited to see, you know, maybe in the comics he leads the Dark Avengers at one point, so maybe they'll start that kind of thing. Like, maybe there'll be a Suicide Squad type of deal.
What is this? Some kind of Suicide
Squad? For Marvel, which I'm pretty excited about seeing more of him. I'm glad he's not Captain America, but I really like him.
I was worried that they were going to full on make him mustache twirling, and I did not want that.
Yeah, me too.
And so the first steps, obviously everybody hates this guy.
Yeah.
Your new Captain America, and then winks at him. Oh, get out of here.
And they like shot him from a bad angle too. Like,
I also didn't, go back to costuming, I didn't hate his suit as much as a lot of people did.
I loved his suit. I thought it was cool.
I think it needed a few tweaks, perhaps, like some leather or something. But anyway, the character, I loved the arc. I shouldn't have been, but I was worried they were going to go too dark with him. Like, oh, I'm a bad guy now, guys.
Yeah.
But no.
We don't want that.
Like, he was very upset that the Flag Smashers killed his friend. Like, I mean, then he murdered that guy. Sure. I mean, we've all been there, right, guys? Yeah.
No.
I mean,
you've never decapitated somebody with Captain America's shield?
Oh, no. You've never taken a super soldier serum and gotten a vibranium shield and killed another super soldier in rage because they killed your friend?
Not yet, at least.
But you've thought about it.
Well, yeah, we've all thought about it.
Beyond that, if you can take that part out of it, he had a really good arc. Like, I think he probably shouldn't have done the murder. That might have been a bit much as a critique. No, as a critique of the show. Because he came back from that pretty fast, within an episode, you know.
Yeah.
But
there would be no reason to strip him of the shield.
I understand. Yeah. I mean, well, the the shot, I love the shot straight out of the comics with the blood dripping from the shield. Yeah. Like that was dark for Marvel right there.
I also like that they used him to kind of demonstrate that the super serum just exemplifies the person you are. Like it doesn't change who you are. And so like it made Steve Rogers, who was inherently good, even better. And while John Walker wasn't like a bad person, he had kind of like a darker side to him.
Yeah.
And the super serum kind of brought that to the front.
Yeah.
Where he went to his rage.
Yeah.
And he's got like a Twitch thing going now, it seemed like.
Did he?
Yeah, it was running throughout the show. Like he kept it up. Mm. Like
I didn't even notice.
Even before he took the serum.
Yeah, it was subtle, but it happened enough where it's like where you thought like, is he snapping? Like, is
yes.
like not like Thanos snap, but like mentally, is he snapping or is he not all there? So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. All right. Baron Zemo is back and continues his life's work of eliminating all super soldiers. While he's currently in the Raft prison, would you like to see him return? Possibly on U.S. Agents Dark Avengers team?
No.
Why not?
I don't think they'd get along very well. He hates super soldiers.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Like a lot.
Could probably try to kill him.
Yeah, he did tell Bucky, he's not going to kill you. Yeah. I'm not going to kill you. You're the only super soldier that I'm.
And that's when he
was
planning to kill the rest of them.
Yeah. You know,
like, I love that he smashed all the vials of the serum. Is like that was awesome. Baron Zemo is the most successful Marvel villain in the MCU. He has succeeded at every one of his plans.
Yeah.
Every single one. Now, Thanos did, but then it got undone. But Zemo's awesome. He might be my top three Marvel villains for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so calm, and he's just calculating. And he could turn into like a Lex Luthor type if he wanted to.
Like, I loved that they, when they walked up to, like, they broke him out of prison or told him how to, or just told him to
they
break out of
just told
prison.
Him how to get out of
prison. I don't even know that they told him how. I think he knew how. He just didn't. And then they were walking up to that plane, and they were like, you're rich? And he goes, I'm a baron. And that was it.
Oh, and his butler.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. good casting on the old man butler, too.
He was the chancellor from University of California, 90210.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, okay, thank you, Michael.
Much older, though.
Yeah. All right. He's great. I want to see him return. I don't know how. I don't think he should be another central villain of anything. But yeah, he's a good addition. I'm not creative enough to write what he should do next. But I certainly don't think he'd get along with John Walker.
Yeah, a lot of people want the Thunderbolts to come out, and the Thunderbolts is a team of supervillains who took over the mantles of the superheroes after Civil War, and then they hunted down the Civil War, the people who were on the run or whatever.
Okay.
And then they're still around as a team of like the Suicide Squad, basically.
Yeah. I think it'd be Dark Avengers, anything like that would be good with him on the team, but just probably just not with John.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll work.
Yeah.
You're going to try to kill me, aren't you? Yes, I am. At any time. Just letting you know now.
I'm going to succeed in killing you, just by the way.
You won't know when.
Yep. All right. Julia Louis-Dreyfus introduced us to new government, possibly S.H.I.E.L.D. operative, the Contessa. As in all things she does, she was delightful in this role. Not a question, just a fact.
Agreed.
Such a nice surprise.
It was a great surprise.
I love that that was one of the teases. Like for the episode, like people have been saying, oh, there's going to be a big cameo in this. So the internet, of course, started. Is it Cap?
Yeah.
Is it Iron Man? Oh, of course, the cameo. And then when it was Julia Louis-Dreyfus as a new character, I didn't see one complaint.
Because
normally it'd be like, ugh. Like, who's the what was the thing in the one in WandaVision that wasn't
Mephisto?
No, well, the other, well, like, the scientist is coming or whatever.
It's
got to be Reed Richards. Yeah. And it was just some guy.
Yeah.
But this one was like, no, I'm cool with that. It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I hope we see a lot more of her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
The big mystery in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier was, who is the power broker? It turns out to be Mephisto, disguised as a jaded Sharon Carter, who is on the run after helping Team Cap in Civil War.
That's not what happened.
What did you think of this reveal and of the show's treatment of Agent 13? So I thought, so first of all, they gave her a extended fight scene where she just, you know, mowed through tons and tons of people.
Apparently did her own stunts.
And melted some dude's face with whatever that was. Like, that was weird.
Yeah. So I really like that. Because I think she has been underserved in the movies, and Maria Hill has also been underserved in the movies. But they're both, like, there's a reason that they're Nick Fury's top agents. I really like that they gave her, like, oh, this is why she's badass. Like,
oh, wait, is Maria Hill, do we know if she's going to be in Black Widow? Because she should have been in Black Widow, I think.
I don't know.
I think that I would have loved to have seen a team up with those two.
Black Widow and Maria Hill.
That would have been great. I don't think there's time now, possibly.
Yeah.
But, no, she's one of those characters I kind of forgot about after Civil War. Obviously, a lot of things were going on with Infinity War and Endgame and whatnot. Like, there were some issues. We had bigger things. This is one of those times, like, I guessed she was the power broker, actually.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem too, like, no, like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
You know, the internet does have speculation, though, that she's a Skrull.
Yeah.
Are we sure she's the power broker?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she never said she was.
Yeah, she's the power broker.
She never said she was.
Yeah, but what else does she?
But who's she call at the end? She's exactly. Like, I got all these weapons now.
She called the power broker.
Yes, it's me, the power broker. Yeah. I mean, she's the power broker. She was calling people, telling them what to do. She had priceless art in her, like, condo.
I'm just saying, the only people that told us she was the power broker were bad people.
Like who?
The guy from Civil War, or from Winter Soldier. Baltrock or
When they showed that, when that guy showed up, I'm like, I don't
know. Like, I don't remember who that was either.
He was like, oh, so you're the power broker. That's the only, like,
yeah, that's good enough.
But she didn't say.
No, she's the power broker.
Or no, Carly said it.
No, Carly said something like, I don't have as much money as the power broker or something like that.
It's her.
I just want to say that they could easily.
But you
switch it around.
Do you not think it's her?
No, I think it's her for other reasons. But, like,
I was just checking. But yeah, it's totally her. I'm curious to see what happens next. I think another smaller story would be good. I don't know that she'll be in a big part of a movie, but I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, they're saying she'll probably be Armor Wars. That's what that was leading
into. Cool. I like it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, being black in America was a central theme in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. How do you think the show handled race, and what stuck out to you?
Boy, this was written at an interesting time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not the question, the show.
I'm sure it
was being written like before around last summer, right? Like,
yeah.
And before. Like, I don't know how this was all going to actually be like originally.
They started filming in late 2019.
So before George Floyd. Wow.
Because there was the first preview for this show occurred during not this past Super Bowl, but last year's Super Bowl.
The one in 20?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they had at least filmed like some of the first episode by then.
Wow. Well, that's even more impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, of course, we've had a problem for about 200 years, but still. Like, with everything that happened last summer, I think it was another good reminder.
Yeah.
Isaiah Bradley was great, and the actor who played him, I'm sorry, I don't know his name.
Carl Lumley.
But he was great. I loved him.
Yeah.
And his nephew or whatever.
Yes.
and those kids on the sidewalk, this is a serious question, but that's Black Falcon. It's just Falcon.
Are you black boy? Yeah. No.
That's Sam was great, by the way, just over, I don't think I gave him enough props earlier.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
I think they did a really good job of showing, sort of not only things like when the police were sort of drawing down on Sam until Bucky was like, what are you doing? Do you know who this is? And they're like, oh, it's you, Falcon. Like, I want to take a picture with you or whatever. And then, so between that and then some of like microaggressions with the, oh, it's Black Falcon or the banker sort of,
banker.
when they were trying to get the loan for the boat.
Oh, right, right. Yep. Yeah, there's another whole storyline in there that was just, yeah, they're still real people, too. Like, yeah. That's, yeah. I think it would have done a disservice to the show and the character to not talk about any of this stuff. You know, a movie would not have been able to expound on this plot line enough for what it really needed to talk about.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not done, because I feel a little bit like it wasn't talked about enough at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I liked everything they did, and I'm glad they brought it up. But at the same time, they talked about all this stuff, but you didn't see a lot of it.
Yeah.
You saw, like, little glimpses of it. But I feel like it would be more impactful. I mean, sadly, it's happened in real life. You see a lot more. But I think Sam's experience specifically would be helpful. Maybe now that he's, like, Captain America, it'll be more explicit. But maybe not. Maybe this world has overcome it.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it.
Not our world. Like the,
no, I know.
Yeah.
Both.
Isaiah Bradley was introduced in a comic run called Truth, Red, White, and Black. And it was when we found out that there was a super soldier before Captain America. And it was basically, you know, they did it drew from the Tuskegee experiments a lot.
Also weirdly timely.
Yeah. And it, so,
but again,
it, yeah, it, it's a challenging read, but it's definitely worth checking out if you like comics or want to read that series. I read that and it was really good.
Yeah. So. I got a feeling we may see Isaiah Bradley again in some sort of
I'd love prequel. That.
Yeah, maybe.
Something.
All right. What do you think of this Flag Smasher's goal of one world, one people? Was Thanos right?
Those are two separate questions again. Thanos was not right, first of all, because he got rid of half of all life, by the way.
Yeah.
That's an issue. It's unclear if it was plant life, too, by the way.
And it doesn't matter if he's right. He's not God.
Well,
it was plant rife. We got rid of Groot.
Well, but no, Thanos was not right. First of all, the Flag Smasher. They had a great one world, one people. Like, anytime you can have a call and response, it's fantastic. I really like Carly.
Save the cheerleader. Save the
I think
world.
She's a great actress. I really liked her in Solo and this, and I want to see more of her. I think she's just on a Disney contract now, though. Yeah. It seems
maybe.
I think we could have gotten more of them because, like I was alluding to earlier, we all, after the blip, talked about like the things that were changed in that world. They could have a whole movie or show just about logistics of the new world and the transition. And I didn't even think about people moving into other people's houses and homes and cities. And like they really got into the weeds a little bit, which was interesting. And like it makes a lot of sense that there would be a group that was disserviced in all this. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
fell through the cracks.
Yeah. There's no way that wouldn't have happened, and they would be pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
Their masks were a little stupid. Other than that,
I forgot about their masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they did too a lot. put the mask on. There was one point where, obviously, it's going to be a stunt woman, but Carly put her mask on for a fight. Like, and just didn't have it on for the talk. I'm like, okay, come on. I mean,
maybe it was a reshoot.
Yeah, that's very possible. It's fine. Whatever. You know who else we didn't get enough of is the other guy. Manny was his name?
The guy who becomes
the new Falcon.
The new Falcon, right?
The comics tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one other thing I like about these shows is I don't know a lot about the comics, but like these shows that introduce so many things, and whether or not they're going in the same direction as the comics, it's just like opened my mind to like all the stuff that I just never knew about.
Yeah.
Like, and all the interconnectedness, and it's cool seeing like them plant seeds for things that may become something else later.
Yeah, or
like
may not.
Groot. Yeah, it's like Groot.
That's my joke.
I
really liked
pun of some sort. I don't know. I'll leave it alone. I know. I'll do better. Hang on. Continue.
One of the things that I really like is, you know, a lot of times I'll see stuff in the movies and then do research on the character and learn what happened in the comics or who he was in the comics or and then that may lead me to want to read a run of whatever. I think Marvel does a really good job of not being so faithful to the comics that people are like, oh, well, it was different here, and I hate this because it was different here. They do kind of what James Bond does, where they take like a title of a book or a title of a chapter and make that the title of the movie, but what actually happens in it is very different. Like Age mm-hmm. of Ultron is very different in the comics than it is in the movie, right? And I really like that because they're two very different parallel stories. So you read, you know, you see Age of Ultron and then you read Age of Ultron and you have two stories that you've got to enjoy. And, neither one of them spoiled the other one.
They're not beholden to the other, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like, and it helps, even if you love the comics, you still don't know what's going to happen in the MCU.
Exactly.
They're doing Civil War. Well, you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They did that one panel with Iron Man and Cap, sure, you saw. But other than that, completely different just about.
Yeah, and if they're doing Secret Invasion, like if you read the Secret Invasion run, that's like basically all of the heroes show up, mm-hmm. and then there's two versions of them, and then they all disperse, and then it's who's the right one and who's the wrong one.
That'd be really interesting.
But that would be really expensive for them to do, actor-wise.
Yeah. Well, not Groot.
Not Groot.
Barking up the wrong tree.
Finally, we learned that the Avengers don't get paid for Avengering. What other world-building tidbits did you like from this?
I got a bone to pick with that one.
What?
I don't think that's true. I think that Tony was something. I don't trust Sam. He was gone for a while. Those 5 years, somebody was getting. Who was paying to keep Black Widow and peanut butter sandwiches and all that cool tech where they were doing video conferences and everything?
That could have been a government contract because they were. I think wasn't some of the military there? Like Rhodey was there.
General Ross was always around, trying to order them around. I think that was probably more of a remnant of the Sokovia Accords more than anything else,
because
they were, you know, like, because after Infinity War, they probably just gave everybody that didn't dust a pardon, I guess, probably, because we don't have time.
Yeah.
And all those holographic screens.
Those are expensive.
Yeah, those don't pay for
And Tony sense. Wasn't on, like, you know, he wasn't. He went to the cabin.
He probably gave them room and board. Like, he probably paid for what was in the thing, but they had to get some spending money somewhere.
They probably had advertising deals and merchandise.
I could use more details on that. I thought they could have talked about this a little bit longer. The Falcon shouldn't have a problem getting a loan. That's all I'm saying. I understand. He shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
Is he still work for the military though too? Like
it seemed like he was just freelancing.
But do they just pay him? Like
I think they would pay him for a mission. Yeah.
Like who decides the cash? Does he like? That's not going to do it for me, brother. That's not enough.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. If they go into too much world building, it just opens up too many cans of worms. They have to go down because then there's more questions.
Like why does Falcon wear a mask?
If they just like leave it to the side, then. It's a little bit cleaner, even though it's interesting to find out like the details.
Yeah.
But sometimes that can be hit or miss as to whether or not it just makes things worse.
Why does Cap wear a mask and then immediately always take it off in every movie?
Because it's a movie.
I understand. And he's a handsome man. Take that mask off. But and we all know who you are.
Yeah.
Too. Like that's.
Yeah, there really aren't that many secret identities in the MCU.
Well, like, you know.
Just Spider-Man, really.
Spider-Man. And if he took off his mask, like everybody knows he's Peter Parker.
I thought their masks
were. Who's Peter Parker? It's not like he's Zac Efron.
I thought their masks were more for protection, not. Hiding their identity.
Maybe
like Captain America is like
what about Falcon, like again same thing I guess,
yeah, because he has glasses on because he's flying really
I understand
fast
the glasses but he still got like the half like the new Cap.
Make him more
that's
aerodynamic,
yeah, that's
maybe.
Oh, okay. And that's definitely
Bucky
vibranium infused too, so that's bulletproof head protection.
I hope so.
Yeah, okay, well then he should have full mask personally, but I loved everything that, you know, I alluded to it earlier, but the entire storyline with his sister and the nephews and their family, like basically, you know, making sure everybody in that town ate for years. Honestly, that stuff's great. It really added a layer to Sam that I really, really enjoyed. Because we had a few episodes there in the beginning where we learned a lot about Sam and Bucky that I thought was really necessary for the two of them. I think I enjoyed the stuff with Sam more than Bucky. I like Bucky, but Sam was a more interesting character to me because he was struggling the whole time.
Yeah,
it's also helpful to know what they're actually fighting for all the time, not just for the good of the world. You know, they all have like personal stakes.
Yeah.
That are driving them in their decision making, like why he's giving up the shield, why he's getting the shield back. And not everyone's like Steve Rogers, where it's like your decision making is based on what's the right call all the time. So I like that.
And those Cap is Back posters are just everywhere in this world. Like, whoever was doing the marketing for whatever branch of government that is, they spent some money because they were all over the world too. Yeah,
the government spends money.
I guess, but I'm just saying. I liked he put together his own janky shield at the end.
Yeah, he sure did. Like, bless him.
Bless his heart. And his wife was kind of.
His wife was awesome.
Like, who is this?
What is happening?
He's probably in there messing with the mask. That was a nice little world building tidbit, I thought.
Val.
Oh, that was her name? See, I forget things.
No, that was the Contessa.
Oh, Contessa, apologies. Yeah. See, I already, she's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I'm Nala, you're Beyonce. You just shut up.
All right, and those are the 10 questions about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Best thing ever.
Yes, best thing ever.
Garbage. I'm just kidding. It was good.
Yeah. All right. Check us out online at tfppodcast.com. We're on Instagram and Reddit at /tfppodcast and Twitter at @tfp_podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite pod catcher. We have some pretty awesome t-shirts at shop.tfppodcast.com, and we have some exclusive Patreon-only content that's available to you if you support the show on patreon.com/tfppodcast. Point of order, there may or may not be an episode next week. It is Will's birthday, so we may take... like the rest of the world, the global holiday of Will's birthday.
Yeah.
We may take that off, or it may just be Michael and I doing something. So
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
But I will not be here.
Right. Will is definitely out. And then that's that. That's all I got. Anything else?
I just wanted to say our rating system for this series should have been Captain America shield is best thing ever, and then John Walker shield is garbage.
Literally.
Yeah.
Cap shield.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon. It's like a nonstop. In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and smart. All right, small topics. These were written by Michael and Will this week. I don't know why I said that. Cut that out. That was weird.
Yeah, you wrote the first one too, by the way. Didn't you?
I did.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Apologies.
I just came up with that on the fly.
Doesn't matter who wrote what. No. What the,
All right.
One world.
One people.